Jesus has given us several illustrations in Matthew chapter 7 that would illustrate for us what it's like to be a person who says they're a believer, but who is not genuinely a believer in Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. And so the first, one of the first illustrations that he gives is the two gates and the two ways. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so first we see that Jesus told us there were two ways. There was the broad way that leads to destruction, and the narrow way that led to life. And the point is this: if you find yourself on the superhighway of popularity, surrounded by people who don't love Jesus, and you are going the same direction as them, and there's nothing different between your life and an unbeliever, well then guess what? You're not on the straight and narrow way. You're on the superhighway to destruction, as Jesus says it. So there ought to be a difference in our life. That's what Jesus is trying to help us understand. Salvation is by grace. We understand that. But once you have received His grace, it ought to make a difference in your life. The next illustration that Jesus gives, we looked at this. The two trees. Jesus said that a good tree bears good fruit, and an evil tree or corrupt tree bears evil fruit. He then explains to us, a good tree cannot produce evil fruit, and an evil tree will not produce good fruit. And so there's an evidence to a person's Christianity. There ought to be evidence in your life that you are indeed saved. And so that brings us to the next illustration that we see, and that's in verses 21, 22, and 23. And I've entitled this one, "Two Christians." Now you notice I've put Christians in quote, because as we're going to see, one of them indeed is not a believer. They are simply saying they are a Christian, when in truth, they don't have the real thing. Just like the yogurt container that I showed you this morning, that came from the factory and they didn't put any yogurt in it. It was sealed. It looked like a legitimate yogurt container. It looked like a legitimate yogurt, right? But inside it had no substance. There was nothing on the inside. And so we're going to look at that this morning, two Christians. Wiersbe says this about this passage. He says, "There are false prophets at the gate," the two ways, right, "that leads to the broad way, making it easy for people to enter. But at the end of the way, there is destruction." And then he comments this: "The final test is not what we think of ourselves," because as we're going to see in this passage, these Christians, the false Christians, thought very highly of themselves. Wiersbe says, "The final test is not what we think of ourselves or what others may think. The final test is, what will God say?" And I want you to get hold of that this morning. It doesn't really matter if you think you're a good person, and it doesn't really matter if your neighbor across the street or your sister or your family member or your coworker thinks that you're a good person, and it doesn't even matter if Pastor Jimmy thinks you're a good person. What is going to matter in the end is, what does God think? Have you received His righteousness through Jesus Christ? And so as we look at this morning, I would submit to you, you must be a real Christian. And after all, that's what this whole series is about: being genuine, being authentic, being indeed real. You must be a real Christian. Now, there's two things before we really get into the message this morning that I want you to notice about this passage. Two important truths that we can glean from this. One of the first things I want you to notice is that the counterfeit Christian, the counterfeit believer, the fake, they are surprised at the judgment. Let's look at the passage. Verse 21 of chapter 7. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, this is one of the most fearful passages, in my opinion, in the Word of God. Because you realize that the people who are standing there on Judgment Day, they are surprised. They think that they have everything settled. In their time on this earth, they think they have done what is necessary to be in God's good graces and to be given entrance into heaven. And it is they have no inclination anything other than that until they stand before God and He says, Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, this passage should cause every one of us, I mean every one of us this morning, to wake up and do some introspection and make sure that we have the real thing. Because you realize those people who will say those things on Judgment Day will be people just like you and people just like me. They will have served God. There'll be preachers there, I'm sure, who will say, you know, didn't I get up and sing for you? Didn't I get up and preach for you in the hot sun? You know, didn't I do these things? But listen, none of those things matter. What matters is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Take note this morning that those people who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these things? And He says, depart from me. Those people are surprised. They didn't live like hell on earth. They didn't live as wicked people. They're surprised when they stand before God and He says, I never knew you. Depart from me. This morning, make sure that you have the real thing. You know, we can understand when we see play throughout Scripture, Satan's strategy, we can understand why people would be surprised that they didn't know God. We know that He blinds the minds of people who don't believe. He deceives them. He gives them every reason to think that they're okay. This morning, I want to make sure it's not you that He's deceiving, and that it's not you who will stand before God that day and say, Lord, I thought I knew you. And you'll hear those sad, sad words, depart from me, I never knew you. Understand, they were surprised. But I want you to understand something else about this passage too. We learned something really astounding, perhaps, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, some people try to downplay who Jesus is, say that He's just a man or He's just a prophet or something like that. But I want you to notice, Jesus does not directly address this topic, but notice that it is He that stands in judgment of these people. Now we know that God is the one who judges. But notice the position of Jesus Christ. If you've ever struggled with the fact that Jesus is God, I challenge you to read these passages and try to make sense of the elevation that Jesus has if He is not indeed God Almighty. Think about that. He says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. See, He's the one that will issue whether they go to heaven or hell. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I, Jesus, will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, Jesus is the one that holds the keys to heaven. He's the one that allows those to gain entrance into heaven, or those to be sent away to hell. So as you look at this passage this morning, I want you to understand, just first of all, those two things. Those people are surprised, and also notice the elevated position of Jesus Christ as judge over mankind. But as we consider the main idea here, you must be a real Christian, I want to bring out some things. I want to bring out some things that it's not. I want to give you two things it's not, and then I want to give you what it is, okay? The first thing, it's not professing Christ. It's not simply saying that you're a Christian. Verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want you to understand that the test for a true believer is not simply saying that you're a Christian. You notice how it's written here. They say, Lord, Lord. In other words, they profess that they are indeed believers. The reduplication of the thing, Lord, Lord, it drives home the idea that they had zeal in Christ. Lord, Lord, they're begging Him. Don't you know the things? We've said we know You. Don't you know the things that we've done? And it reminds me of another person. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 45. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. Now, if you're not familiar with what that passage is talking about, that's Judas when he betrays Jesus in the garden. You notice the same sincerity, or insincerity we should say, with which he approaches the Lord Jesus Christ? Master, Master. And in the same way, those people on that day will look at Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, did we not say this? Did we not do these things? Oh, make sure this morning that you're a true believer. Make sure that you're genuine. Make sure that you are indeed authentic. The test is not saying, Lord, Lord, and then not obeying His commands. It's very easy to learn the religious vocabulary. It's very easy to spout religious words. But the test is not what we say. The test is what we do. Listen to this illustration. Story is told, supposedly true, of an actress, Madame Majeska. She was a Polish actress. She was at a party one evening, and of course, being a celebrity, admiring people pressed her to make a recitation for them from some play. At first she declined, that she couldn't remember, you know, the different plays and things like that. But then the guest insisted so insistently, finally she went ahead and agreed, announcing that she would recite in her native tongue. The people who were listening to her listened spellbound as she spoke the lines in the Polish tongue. Some who were there were even moved to tears as she spoke. And when she finished, she was asked the name of the touching story that she had related. And she smiled and said, I counted in Polish to 100. Now, they thought she was giving some moving play, some moving piece of drama. But indeed, all she was doing was counting in her native Polish tongue to 100. You know, in the same way, you may talk a good talk as a believer. You may even move some to tears. But remember, it's not men that you have to convince. It's God Almighty. And my friend, He sees past the language of our tongues. And He sees into the language of our hearts. It is important that you not just say you're a Christian. It's not just professing Christ. It's knowing Him. It's having a personal relationship with Him. Now, I want you to understand this morning, if you know Him, it will result in you professing Him. It will result in you talking like a believer. But talking alone will not save you. Talking alone does not a Christian make. So it's not professing Christ. Secondly, nor is it performing for Christ. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. You notice that reduplication again. They are just dumbstruck. They are confounded. They are so surprised that this is happening to them on judgment day. Make sure you get that this morning. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils? And in Thy name done many wonderful works. The reiteration, Lord, Lord, it denotes surprise. It's like saying, what, Lord? How is this? Can we be disowned at this point? Now you're going to let us go? Now you're going to disown us? Have we not prophesied? Now when we talk about prophets, often we think about people telling the future, and that's one of the ways that prophecy is used in the Word of God. But here it has the idea of someone who publicly teaches, like a preacher, like myself, who gets up and every Sunday proclaims the Word of God. This was those kind of people that day on Judgment Day who say, "Lord, didn't I preach for you? Didn't I do this?" And they give a long laundry list of all the things that they did for God. "In thy name," they say, or "to thy name." In other words, all these things that we did it in your name. "And then in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works," or has the idea of miracles. They even did miracles for God, yet they did not know Him. And you know, that shouldn't surprise us that people would be able to even do miracles and not be associated with God. We know that the Antichrist will be able to do many wonders and will deceive many. The Bible tells us that. These people did miracles and wonderful works, and yet still were not belonging to Christ. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator said this: those three things were selected, prophesying, casting out devils, and doing many wonderful works, because those are examples of the highest services rendered to the Christian cause. You realize that covered every level of believer who would do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord looks at them and says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Listen to what Wiersbe says about this. "Words are not a substitute for obedience." We saw that in the last one. "And neither are religious works. Preaching, casting out demons, performing miracles can be divinely inspired, but they give no assurance of salvation." He says it is likely that even Judas participated in some or all of these activities. You see, there was nothing about Judas that distinguished him from the other disciples up to the moment when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He may have participated in all the kind of wonders and activities that the disciples did, and yet he was not a true believer. You see, it's not about performing for Christ. It's not about doing some kind of work. In one of the paintings of the old world, there's a picture that very accurately shows hypocrisy. The picture at a distance looks as though a friar clad in canonicals, religious garb, looking very holy and righteous. He looks to be absorbed in prayer. His hands are clasped. But as you get close, it seems his hands are clasped and a Bible is underneath. But as you get close to the picture, you realize that really his hands are not clasped in prayer, nor is it a prayer book underneath, but rather he is simply squeezing lemons into a bowl to make lemonade. And that's an accurate picture of how people can look like one thing and yet be doing something completely different. I want you to understand, it is not about performing for Christ, but rather it's about having a relationship with Him. They will say, "Did we not cast out demons? Did we not prophesy? Did we not do wonderful works in your name?" And yet Jesus will look at them and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It's not about professing Christ. It's not about performing for Christ. But now I want to change it. It is about possessing a relationship with Christ. Direct your attention to verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." You see, that's the key. I never knew you. See, the key to gaining entrance to heaven, the key to being allowed to go to heaven on Judgment Day, is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is evidenced by your profession of faith in Christ, and that will be evidenced by you serving God in your life. But saying and serving without knowing, that is not enough to save somebody. And if you are saying it and you are serving Him and you don't know Him, then you'll hear those words on that day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Listen to what one author said. He says, "One must not always think so much about what one should do, but rather what one should be. Our works do not ennoble us, but we must ennoble our works." I want you to understand, being a believer is not about what you do. It's about what you are. Do you have a genuine, real, authentic, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? If not, then get the real thing this morning. Jesus says to them, "I never knew you." What they claimed was that they knew Christ. They claimed that they had that relationship with Jesus Christ. But then what Jesus declares to them, as they have said in verse 22, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? How can you disown us now? We've done all these things." Jesus says, "It's not that I'm disowning you. I never knew you. I never knew you in the first place." In other words, our acquaintance was not broken off. There never was any. "Depart from me, I never knew you." Make sure this morning that you have a real, genuine experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. The town of Pisa, Italy. Of course, it's famous for the Leaning Tower there in the town. But not as well known, but perhaps a far more significant piece of art exists there in Pisa, Italy. It's a painting on the wall of a cemetery. And in that painting, there are groups of people coming out of their graves, some going to the right and others to the left of the scene. And I did a little bit of research on this painting. It's huge, these huge paintings that would adorn the walls of this cemetery. And so it has the people coming out of their graves, some going to the right, some going to the left. But in the painting, there appears to be some confusion. Some who thought they should be going to the right are being pointed to the left, and vice versa. You might ask, what was the basis for who got to go where? And of course, the basis is what Jesus says here. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Now, if you're not careful, you might listen to that and you might say, "Oh, well, that does sound like works, doing the will of his Father." But I want you to understand that there in verse 22, they give a long list of all the things that they did, but it wasn't enough, was it? That's because, do you know what the will of God is? Well, you can't know unless you have a personal relationship with Him. It's through that personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God and are able to know His will. And that's why in verse 23, the phrase that condemns those people is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, that's the key. It wasn't about what they said. It wasn't about what they did. It was about who they knew, or as we say here in Trinidad, who knew them, right? They might have thought very well that they knew Jesus. But He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So this morning, make sure that Jesus knows you. Make sure that you have the genuine thing. Make sure that you're real. Make sure that you're authentic. Now I want to say one other thing regarding this passage. This passage, in many ways, proves that once somebody has the real thing, they can never fall from grace. Now, a lot of believers today are messed up on that. They have it mixed up. And if you want to know more about that, I invite you to come back tonight as we continue to study Galatians 3. Paul, in Galatians 2, he was talking about, you know, now that you've come to Christ, somehow do you think that law is going to keep you? Somehow the law and works is going to finish you out to the end? And he shows how that is just ridiculous. But you know, here, we have Jesus revealing to us that it's not that these people knew Him and then fell from grace. No, He states explicitly, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, those who are turned away in judgment, these people, if there's anyone who we could say, well, they must have been saved and then, you know, by judgment day they lost their salvation. Oh, no, no. These are the people everybody would have looked at and said they were keeping their salvation. But Jesus declares to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Because the key is that relationship. And this is the comforting thing about this passage. I know it's a tough passage. It's frightening to think that someone could stand before God and they've sat in a church pew and they thought they've done all the right things and then stand before God and be sent to hell. That should make us look at ourselves this morning. But I want you to understand this. There's some great comfort in this passage as well, in that we see that once He knows us, He always knows us. He knew me when I was 3 years old. That's when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus can never say to me, "He never knew me," because I know that He knew me then. And you know, once you have that settled, and once you know when it is that Jesus came to know you, not just you knowing Him, remember, once you have that settled, then you can have the comfort that Jesus will never look at you and say, "I never knew you." You see, these people who are in danger, they are the people who never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have one more illustration this morning, and we'll be done. Alfred Lunt, an actor who plays to packed houses, he's not comfortable with his performance unless there is standing room only. In other words, he's not even happy that the theater be filled. He wants to see that there are some people standing in the back. Well, some years back, he was appearing on Broadway in a Theater Guild production. And Russell Krause, who was then the publicity man for the Guild, saw that there were a few empty seats in the theater. He knew that this would upset Alfred Lunt, but he remembered that in a previous show, they had a dummy, a human mannequin. And so he went, he dressed up that dummy, stood him in the back of the house. After the performance, the actor, Lunt, told Krause, "There was one standee who was so interested in the play that he hardly moved during the entire performance. Most gratifying," he said. Now that man, who was standing in the back, was not a real person. The reason why he was so enthralled and focused on the play is because he wasn't alive. He was a dummy. And you know, Alfred Lunt may be content to have a theater that has dummies in it and be impressed with how focused they are, how engaged they are. But I can assure you this morning that God is not content to fill His church with dummy Christians. You know, from my viewpoint, you may seem very real this morning, but you don't have to fool me. The person who really matters is God. It doesn't matter what I think. God knows the truth. This morning, are you real? Are you authentic? Are you genuine? Or are you just like the stander there in the theater? Are you a dummy Christian? I hope this morning you can say that you've got the real thing inside. That you're not just a hollow shell, but that you indeed know the Lord Jesus Christ.